This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's a new high-level assessment of the enormous cost of racial inequities. I'm David Brancaccio. There is the profound human cost of persistent racial inequities in society, and there's also the economic cost. A new study from Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco President Mary Daly and researchers at two universities finds inequalities have cost the United States $51 trillion in lost output since 1990. Let's pause for a moment on that figure. That is trillion with a T as in terrible, and $51 trillion over 30 years is more than 10 times the size of the entire U.S. federal budget last year. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
The researchers say large gaps in rates of employment, education, and earnings are holding the economy back. And they map out what GDP would have been if those gaps didn't exist, if Black and Latinx men and women held jobs at the same rates as white men and women, if they completed college at the same rates and earned the same wages. From labor alone, gains would add up to almost $23 trillion between 1990 and 2019. And the paper's authors expect that gains would grow in recent years because the share of non-white populations in the U.S. has increased. 2020 census data show the number of white people living in the U.S. has declined for the first time on record. The full estimated figure of about $51 trillion in lost gross domestic product factors in the increase in capital investments that a more productive labor pool could trigger. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
There's news the number of people signing up for unemployment benefits in the last week fell by 10% to 310,000. That could be a sign that the distress of families is going down. But let's consult Diane Swong, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so that number moved in the right direction, but we need to start bringing some nuance into the discussion, right? Because the ability to get unemployment is being ratcheted back as we speak.
Exactly. And this was the week ending September 4th. Many of the supplements and expansions to unemployment for millions of workers expired on September 6th. So even though we're seeing the downward trend in initial unemployment claims, there's likely a lot of people who weren't actually applying for claims knowing that they would disappear the following week because they no longer would be eligible. Also, we saw a very odd increase in unemployment insurance claims, the largest in the entire country in the state of Louisiana, which was pretty much underwater and without electricity during the week due to Hurricane Ida. And that's unusual because you couldn't really apply for claims and unemployment insurance if they were really out of electricity. And that suggests that was probably a catch-up in a surge in unemployment claims the week prior before Hurricane Ida actually hit.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Microsoft has pledged to spend $20 billion over 5 years on new cybersecurity tools, but one problem tech companies trying to fight hacking may run into, not enough people to hire who have the chops to do this kind of work. The Commerce Department estimates there are about 500,000 unfilled cybersecurity jobs. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has that.
Cybersecurity professionals are scarce partly because the industry has a messaging problem, says Diana Burley, a cybersecurity expert with American University. So she doesn't miss an opportunity to recruit, like when she speaks at elementary schools.
What I do is I say, how would you like to be a superhero? Then I say, so you want to be a cybersecurity professional.
But how do you keep kids interested long term? Jim Waldo is a Harvard computer scientist and a chief technology officer at the school. He also runs a cybersecurity club for students.
Unfortunately, there are interesting things to be done in machine learning that tend to pay more and that these students find more interesting to do intrinsically.
But after recent high-profile cyber attacks, Waldo says students coming in do have more interest and knowledge of the threat.
I don't know that the improvement I'm seeing is matching the pace of sophistication that I'm seeing in the attacks.
And Waldo says that is worrisome. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
Two federal funds established after the attacks of September 11, 2001 have paid around $12 billion over the years. The money went to first responders, the families of those who died, or people who've gotten sick as a result of the terrorist carnage. Medical claims have been increasing in recent years. Many are from people with cancer. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports on the ongoing health costs connected to that day 20 years ago this weekend.
Michael O'Connell responded to the World Trade Center as a firefighter on 9/11 and spent the next few weeks working at Ground Zero. 5 years later, he got sick.
I know the exact date. It was December 31st, 2006.
New Year's Eve. He went to bed that night feeling healthy, but when he woke up the next morning,
I literally had swollen limbs, swollen ankles, all my joints were inflamed. My body kind of blew up to like twice the size it was.
A pulmonologist figured out that he had a rare autoimmune disease called sarcoidosis that was attacking his skin and joints and told him he'd gotten it from breathing in toxins.
The material that the responders and survivors were exposed to when the towers collapsed was quite toxic.
Dr. Michael Crane treats a lot of 9/11 first responders through the World Trade Center Health Program Clinic at Mount Sinai.
I mean, it's a huge, huge burning building. It's collapsing. Everything inside is burning. And it collapses down into a pile and then an enormous dust cloud.
A lot of firefighters, police officers, and others at Ground Zero started getting sick almost immediately. First with what they called the World Trade Center cough, then PTSD and depression, and eventually, years later, cancers.
This exposure has a really, really long tail.
Anyone who develops any kind of illness linked to 9/11 can get free health care through the World Trade Center Health Program. But Michael Barish, a lawyer for 9/11 survivors, says there are likely a lot of people dealing with 9/11-related health problems who don't know they're eligible. People who lived, worked, or went to school near the Trade Center.
While over 80% of the responders, like the firefighters, cops, sanitation workers, they have enrolled in this free health program, less than 10% of the non-responders have enrolled.
Both the World Trade Center Health Program and the Victim Compensation Fund have been reauthorized through 2090, but advocates say more funds are needed. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And Idaho, with one of the lowest COVID vaccination rates, is now applying what's called a crisis standard of health care, allowing some overloaded hospitals to ration care and say no to some patients, especially at the Kootenai Health Center in Coeur d'Alene, which is taken to treating COVID patients at a conference center. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.